When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome in Game Time Decisions. A very happy Friday to you as we look to close out the month of September 2024. What a time of year it is. College football, a couple of games tonight, in fact, with the U getting ready to take center stage in an ACC battle against Virginia Tech. Also, Rutgers undefeated at home, taking on Washington as Washington welcoming itself into the Big Ten here tonight in Piscataway, New Jersey. That you've got going on here tonight. We got plenty of Major League Baseball action, the final regular season. The games are happening here. Of course, Monday we'll have a doubleheader in place with the Mets and Braves for all the marbles, it looks like. Who will make the postseason, who won't? So we've got a lot of that. Not to mention, of course, the NFL Week 4. And, oh, yeah, this other thing going on right now as the headlines and the phone was blowing up today in the President's Cup, of all things, if you can believe that. I know Brady Cannon's laughing because he knows as well as I know the last day after yesterday and the Americans off to a smackdown, which is what we all thought was going to happen in this President's Cup, Brady. What a turn of events here. They go out and sweep the matches today, the international squad. And just like that, Brady, we're heading into the weekend, all knotted up here at five apiece here. What did you see here today? Were you shocked as I was?
I don't say I was shocked, but I was definitely surprised to see that it was a 5-0 sweep. You know, whether it be the Europeans and the Ryder Cup or the internationals, you know, anybody that is going against the Americans, they typically do better in alternate shot format. I don't know why that is exactly, but they always seem to beat us in alternate shot format. So I expect it. And, you know, after beaten down 5-0 on Thursday, I expected some bounce back out of the internationals. But to go 5-0 and to sweep, that was incredibly impressive. And Joe, I think the international side played better today than the Americans played on Thursday. The Americans didn't just drub the international side on Thursday, even though it was a 5-0 sweep. There were some matches that were completely out of hand on Friday up there in Montreal. I mean, I think a 7-5 and it's 6-4. And this, mm-hmm. I mean, they won a couple of these matches just going away. If you look at the odds, it was interesting. I looked at the number last night after it was 5-0 in favor of the Americans, and they were minus 1,600. You could get the international side at 16-1 to come back and win this. Well, now it's even different than it was. I mean, even though we're at square one again, tied at five apiece, the price has come down on the American side. They went into the competition at minus 250. Now, after 2 days, they are minus 175, and the take back on the internationals is plus 225, and a tie is 10-1. So everything has changed here a great deal. But, you know, kind of thank goodness as well. because now it looks apparently like we've got a competition on our hands for the next couple days.
Yeah, the pairings were interesting today, to say the least. But listen, if you're Xander Schauffele and Patrick Cantlay, you cannot go out and lose 7-6. Like, are you kidding me here? Because that was match six. That's how the day started for the Americans here. And it only got worse from there. I mean, Homa and Harmon were the only one where it really came down to stretch. That was a one-up against Jason Day. I'm kind of scratching my head with some of these pairings and what we got from them here today. No?
I thought the pairings were so good on day one on the American side. Jim Furyk, he went away from the typical Xander and Cantlay and Scotty and Burns, and he mixed it up, and he had Finau and Schauffele. I mean, that's a great team right there. He had Keegan Bradley, you know, the rah-rah cheerleader with a guy that's been struggling in Wyndham Clark, and Wyndham Clark was able to really feed off of Bradley, and they did really well. And then Sam Burns was paired with, I can't remember exactly who it was now, but they had success, somebody other than his buddy Scotty. He didn't just pair the buddies together like we always see. You know, Schauffele and Cantlay are good friends. Scotty and Burns are good friends. He mixed that up. And I thought it really worked great. And, you know, they went 5-0. Apparently, the Scotty Scheffler-Russell Henley pairing might be here to stay. And I think that one's excellent. That was the most competitive match of all on Friday. The Brian Harman-Max Homa pairing, you know, they had some success together at the Ryder Cup. But Homa's been so bad, really, for the last few months. And Harman just hasn't really – you know, I think if you're going to pair somebody with Harman, it has to be somebody that's electric and really can get him going. And we know Harman is a pretty reserved guy. We know he's very competitive and he's a grinder. But I think he maybe needs some more enthusiasm, you know, a bigger personality possibly to possibly get Max, you know, fired up, because his game is just been in the dumps for a long time now. So, yeah, going back to the old pairings that we typically see, maybe that led to some of the, you know, the bad signs for the Americans today. But on the other hand, the internationals were on one, too.
Yeah, well, now they made a lot of great shots, a lot of big putts across the board. So here we go, heading into Saturday. I think we've got four ball in the morning, foursomes in the afternoon here. What do you think we're going to get tomorrow? What should we be looking for?
Yeah, you're exactly right. So it'll be four matches in the morning, best ball. Each player is going to play their own ball, and you just take the low score of the two. That's typically where the Americans thrive. That's where they went 5-0 on Thursday. And it'll be just four matches instead of five, and then you have four alternate shot matches in the afternoon. So a little bit of both on Saturday, not five matches, but pared down to four. And, you know, I think what you look at when you look at the stats, and you mentioned it there, the putting for the international side on Friday was out of this world. They gained over eight strokes on the Americans with the putter on Friday. The Americans on Thursday gained over four strokes. So twice as good, basically, putting were the internationals on Friday than the Americans were. And when you take such a leap like that, that is bound to regress and come back. And then you also look at the international side on Friday. They lost strokes off the tee and on approach. The Americans gained on the internationals off the tee and on approach. So that's a really good sign for the Americans. If they were hitting the tee ball really well and hitting the irons really well and the putts just didn't happen to fall, look out. Because if the putts happen to fall, you know putting is volatile. You know, it's fickle. It goes one way one day and one day the other day. So you would expect, with the internationals being so hot with the putter on Friday, that they would come back down to earth a little bit. And you'd also expect that the Americans would find the putting stroke a little bit more on Saturday, like they had going on Thursday. So, you know, it'll probably be similar, Joe, where we see the Americans, you know, get the edge in the best ball, and we see the internationals come back in the afternoon and have a little edge in the alternate shot. I think the Americans probably finish the day with a small lead. I'm hoping for that. The Americans typically thrive in singles matches. When it's all said and done, you know the bet I have. I'm hoping for the USA to win by 4-6 shots. And it looks like it's set up pretty well for a conclusion of that nature at this point.
Yeah, it's, listen, I...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
I do think it favors us maybe for the internationals to have another good day tomorrow, so then we can come in on Sunday, no singles matches, and expect the Americans to do what they should do, which is pretty much dominate that. But we'll get better numbers, I think, if the internationals show up again tomorrow and at least make it competitive. Might give us a better shot to make some money on Sunday at some reasonable prices here. But don't go anywhere, Brady. We got NFL to talk about as week four is here. Game Time Decisions continues here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on this final Friday of September. Can you believe it? I'm Joe Ranieri. Appreciate you stopping by. Brady Cannon hanging with us here as we get ready. Brady, we started week four in the NFL season last night with a disgusting game, but a win is a win for the Cowboys as they got it done. The Giants in epic fashion score nothing but field goals when they probably should have blown that game out of the water, but did not happen. Cowboys get the win. Giants fall to 1-3. Interesting slate this week starting off, and let's head to everyone's favorite now, apparently the Carolina Panthers, with the Cincinnati Bengals here. I'm seriously considering the Bengals in the survivor pool here this week, even though they are single-handedly responsible for everybody's entry being knocked out here in the first 3 weeks. But what do we think here? Is this really a rejuvenated Carolina team? Do they come back down to reality? What do we think we're going to get laying, what, 4.5 in this one?
Yes, I do believe that the Carolina Panthers will come back down to earth here. The fact is they're not a very good team. They rallied the troops with the change at quarterback last week. I love that spot for Carolina, taking on a bad team in the Las Vegas Raiders. And the Raiders basically quit once, Carolina punched them in the mouth for the first half, first three quarters, and the Raiders knew they were done. And Andy Dalton and company really put a whooping on them. And we saw Chuba Hubbard have a great day. I think you're probably going to see a lot of him again in this matchup because Adam Thielen is injured. I think he might be out for the season possibly. And Deontay Johnson, the other target, is listed as questionable with a groin. And a groin is tough. That it's not easy to come back from that as a wide receiver. So Andy Dalton may be very limited as far as his weapons. Now, there are key injuries on the defensive side of the ball for the Cincinnati Bengals as well. Carolina could have some success running the ball, but I have to believe that Lou Anarumo had to put a great emphasis on defense this week in practice because that team was, somewhat embarrassed on Monday night, especially that defense. And we know when professional athletes get embarrassed, that's the best time to back them is that very next week. I don't have a problem with the Bengals offense. They were very good against the Commanders on Monday night. But I think overall, they were pretty embarrassed. They're embarrassed to be 0-3 as a team. And now you have a perfect candidate to get right here in the Carolina Panthers. And you know this, Joe, our friend Ralph Michaels at Wager Talk put out a great stat last week going into week three. Winless teams that are playing on the road coming off of a home game, and this is a pretty decent sample size, about 130 games or so, 65% against the spread. Well, the Bengals are certainly in that situation. Last week, you had four teams in that situation, and three of them covered. Denver, the Baltimore Ravens, and then also the Carolina Panthers. Well, now we're going to turn the tables on the Carolina Panthers. Cincinnati comes into that same situation. And in the fourth game of the year, it's actually 78% of the time that that team covers the number. So I think it's a perfect situation for the Bengals to right the ship here and get a win, get one in the win column. Yeah, I've already bet the Bengals and I took them in the contest as well.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we know 2% of teams in the Super Bowl era that start 0-3 have made the playoffs. So your chances are slim to none. But if there's a team this year with the Bengals, keep in mind, right, we have an extra game as well as an extra playoff spot, and they haven't played anybody in their division yet. I still think Cincinnati is very much alive, and if they win this week, any sort of future play in the Bengals, Brady, you might want to grab them before this game here because I don't know the number will get any better here. I have a lot of faith in that Bengals offense moving forward here. Speaking of faith, you got to have faith. I did last week with the Jets in the Survivor Pool, and I got even more faith with them this week against Denver in a terrible spot for Denver, asking this kid to come here on the road on a well-rested Jets team. This feels like a blowout waiting to happen. What do you think with the Jets?
Well, I hope it is because I bet the Jets as well. And I typically don't land on a lot of favorites. Now, I made this number 5. And so that would indicate, you know, that I should be playing the Denver Broncos here. But when I start to dive into this further, when I see a discrepancy in my number versus what the posted number is, that's when I really want to take a look. And if you look at this situation, you mentioned the extra rest. I think that's a big deal. But the Denver Broncos basically have nobody at linebacker. They have injuries to their two best guys. Josie Jewell is no longer there. I think that linebacking core is going to be a point of interest for this Jets offense where they will rely on Breece Hall all day long. I think it's going to be a big day for Breece Hall. We all know Patrick Surtain is going to try and shadow Garrett Wilson. No problem. I think it's going to be a big day for the running game, which will eventually open up the passing game for the Jets. And here's another one. This was probably my best angle in this game. Obviously, you have Denver, you know, due for a letdown coming off of that huge win last week. But they are one of the worst teams. They are tied for the fifth worst team in football in yards per play on offense. And on the other side of the ball, you have the New York Jets as one of the best defenses, allowing 17 points or fewer to their opponent in the first 3 weeks of the season. The first 2, 3, 4 weeks of the season, you take that defense that is doing that against that offense that ain't doing that, and I think that's a great situation for a shutdown defense against an anemic offense. This could be very one-sided here on Sunday in New York.
I agree. And, of course, Monday night, Lions traveling, take on the Seahawks here. How do you like this one?
I think the Seahawks are a decent team, but Joe, they've beaten arguably the three worst teams in football, the Miami Dolphins with Skylar Thompson at quarterback, the New England Patriots, and the Denver Broncos. And they weren't even able to hardly put Miami away. That game was 17-3 for what seemed like forever. They're stepping up in class this week. Now, the Lions have injuries. Frank Ragnow, their center. Brian Branch, possible. Seattle has injuries, too. I think Detroit finds a way. This is a whole new different animal for the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, Detroit home in this one. I don't think they can protect Geno Smith from that pass rush. Brady, a pleasure, man. Enjoy the weekend. Game time decisions will be back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. Appreciate you stopping by as we've got Major League Baseball underway here today. The final couple of games of the regular season. The playoffs begin on Tuesday of this week. We will have, of course, a doubleheader for what could be all the opportunity to play in the postseason for the Atlanta Braves and the New York Mets. Because of the hurricane coming through Atlanta, they did postpone the games the Mets were supposed to have with Atlanta this week. They pushed it off to a doubleheader on Monday. Atlanta tonight taking on the Kansas City Royals. To say it's important that both the Mets and the Braves continue to win games in this spot would be an understatement here, as the Mets are in Milwaukee tonight taking on a Brewers team that really has nothing to play for here. Montas going for Milwaukee, Manea going for the Mets here tonight at a really decent price too, minus 115, minus 110. I did take the Mets to win, as it is in their best interest to win the games they're supposed to win, and they should have no problem beating the Brewers, who used Devin Williams last night and a couple of other of their leverage guys. I don't see the Brewers taxing this bullpen or taking any chances under any circumstances at this point. I do like the Mets even as a road favorite in that one here tonight. They are underway in Atlanta with the Royals, who are still fighting for their playoff lives. I mean, if you would have told, you'd have told me that we'd get to the final Friday of the regular season and that there was a very good chance that we'd have not one, not two, but three teams from the American League Central in the postseason, I would have laughed at you and said, pass the cookie or brownie you're eating at this point, because there is no way there are three teams good enough to make the playoffs. And yet, here we are. And maybe the one team that 6 months ago I would have said, probably the Twins would be the one team I would pick from the Central. Well, guess what? Yeah, the Twins can't seem to buy a win anymore, as the Marlins played spoiler over the last couple of games against them. And now they are going to have to hope that the Royals lose to Atlanta and that Detroit loses to the White Sox here in order to maintain any hope of getting to the postseason. Because right now, that magic number is one. So any combination of a Twins loss or a Detroit slash Royals win, well, that'll eliminate the Twins here. And quite honestly, at this point, nobody wants to see that. Twins, nobody wants to see it. But they got Baltimore coming up. The Royals, no score right now with Atlanta underway. No score also with the White Sox. Crochet on the mound taking on those Tigers. There is no score in that one as they are in the fourth inning. The Phillies have decided they wanted nothing to do with actually winning a game tonight or taking that top seed into the postseason, because they've already given up six runs in the bottom of the second inning. Ranger Suarez is a hot mess right now. The Nats are up 6-0 in the bottom of the second inning. Keeping in mind, they're only up a game on the Dodgers for that number one overall seed in the playoffs, which will guarantee home field advantage no matter who you are playing in the postseason. So interesting turn of events there. Dodgers, of course, in Colorado tonight. I can't imagine a whole lot of Dodgers right now that will be not hung over as they are taking on Colorado in Colorado. Cal Quantrill going for the Rockies. He, of course, has been one of their better pitchers this year, and that is saying something. But the Rockies might not be a bad look here tonight at all. So plenty of Major League Baseball still on tap over this weekend heading into the postseason, of course, heading into October. But we are getting ready for some college football here tonight, as we are just moments away from the University of Miami getting ready to take the field against ACC rival Virginia Tech, who many people had preseason winning the ACC, being a dark horse there, as they had over 21 returning players, scholarship players from a year ago. Many start, almost the entire offense, starters back. Will it matter? Number 7, Miami doesn't think so. That game getting underway. We'll have more on it as Game Time Decisions continues.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions. Exactly what we've got to do here. Make some decisions as we get ready for week 5 of the college football season. We are moments away from sunny South Florida as the U getting ready to kick off to Virginia Tech here, followed by, coming up top of the hour, the undefeated Rutgers team taking on Washington. That's your 8 o'clock Eastern time game tonight, as we have seen an awful lot of Washington money come in here today, driving this line down to +1, +1.5. Also, the under getting a little bit of love in the marketplace. And listen, I mean, it's been a great start, and I get the love for this Rutgers team this season here. I've always been a big Greg Schiano fan. I love how he's got this team rolling here. They continue to get better and better each year under Greg Schiano, but I just don't think the market appreciates this Washington team and their head coach, Jed Fish. We're talking about a Washington team that was in the national championship just a year ago. And I do think that the perception is Kalen DeBoer leaves, the roster gets turned over, and that's that. You know, we'll talk to you later, Washington. But that is far from what we have here. I do think Washington is a very, very underrated commodity in college football this year. And listen, you don't leave the job in Arizona, where Jed Fish has done an amazing, turned around an Arizona Wildcats football program that was on life support. And then he comes in and we've got one of the most prolific offenses in the country. And all of a sudden, nobody's laughing at Arizona anymore. He left that job to come to Washington. And in doing so, while they might have lost a lot of players from that team last year, that national championship playing team last year, they had a top 30 recruiting class coming in. Not to mention, he got a 5-year quarterback to come over in Will Rogers, the former Mike Leach prodigy from Mississippi State, a guy that in his career in college has completed over 70% of his passes. This year, completing over 76% of the passes. And quite honestly, they are just a field goal away from having won that Washington State game, the Big Apple Cup. And that to date is their only loss on the season here. And I call me crazy. I think Washington comes into this one better prepared. And I think Rutgers is getting a little bit too much love because they beat Akron and Howard. Again, you beat two borderline JUCO schools here in Akron and Howard, and yet you didn't really outplay them in those games because you didn't outyard them. They weren't trouncing by the number. Virginia Tech, the only real reason they won the Virginia Tech game last week is because they were +2 in the turnover department there. But again, a 3-point win on the road in Blacksburg is a nice win, but it does not shock me that the money is coming in on a Washington team who defensively, by the way, only given up on an average of 10 points per game this season. The defense is playing out of their mind. I get the better quarterback. I think the better offensive-minded head coach. Got them at 3 earlier in the week. I still think Washington wins this game outright tonight. That game coming up at the top of the hour. But the U laying 18, 17.5, 18, total 54.5 right now in Hard Rock Stadium in Miami. They are getting ready to kick off here. And we just said Rutgers, Virginia Tech just could not get off the field, turned the ball over far too many times. Not good this year for Virginia Tech. It has been, we're talking about a team that brought back almost every starter on the offensive side of the ball from a year ago. And this is just not a good team. It does not seem to be gelling at all. They lost to Vanderbilt in overtime to open up the season as a big favorite. They lost at home to Rutgers last week. And now they got to take on a University of Miami team that has what could very well be the Heisman Trophy front runner in Cam Ward under center, former Washington State quarterback, who's only putting up over 600 yards of offense per game. They are averaging, you ready for this? Almost 9 yards a play. The defense barely giving up 4 yards per play. And I think maybe that's the big thing here is that you got a University of Miami offense. We expect them to be good with Mario Cristobal. But you have a Miami defense that is just dismantled a pretty good South Florida team 50-15 last week, and they opened the season in the swamp and destroyed Florida. So this is a Miami team that looks, feels, and just this looks a lot like the Miami of old. You never want to get too excited here because, you know, Dave Sharapin knows we keep hearing the U is back this time of year every year. But, I mean, Dave, call me crazy. This just looks and feels like a different Miami team here. And if you keep putting up 600 yards offense a game, it really not going to matter what Mario Cristobal does, will it?
No, sir. Great to see you, Joe. Wore some old
pleasure
Miami stuff for you.
I
ain't got no hurricane stuff because last time I had it, I was a different size. It's been a while since they've been good. And I got to get some new stuff. But I like what I see. And
yes,
this is a good time to be good in the ACC. And
yes, it is.
Like when you see this number, I saw it early in the week and I went, wow, this is still Virginia Tech, is it not? So
yes.
I think odds makers have caught up. You know, this is kind of inflated, and then they laid it. So I don't know. I mean, we'll watch it tonight. I wouldn't take it. I would only lay it, but you might be able to wait a little bit and let it come down in game and not have to lay that initial number now that the game's kicked off. I don't know, Joe. Between them, there's a couple other teams like this weekend to look at games that are teams – in spots that, you know, they haven't been in a while. So it's fun. Last weekend of baseball, are you looking at anything baseball-wise? Anything?
Yeah, we talked about this, Aaron, by the way, that Miami Marlins gear that you are wearing, they are up 5-0 on Toronto already in the top of the second inning. Also, if you're just joining us, so much for Ranger Suarez and the Phillies taking that top spot in the National League. They've given up 6 runs already in 2 innings to the Washington Nationals, who just got swept by the Kansas City Royals. So not a great start here tonight for either Toronto or the Phillies. We still have no score, Dave, in the Tigers and the White Sox. The Astros are up 1-0 on the Guardians. Yep. But I thought the Mets number was interesting tonight with Manet on the mound and the Mets needing to win and the Brewers not having to win, Dave. The Brewers ain't bringing in Devin Williams in this game. They're not going to use any of their high bullpen guys. Feels like a gift at that price for the Mets, doesn't it?
I know. And I was going to come into Mets stuff, and I didn't want to get Kofsky upset or any of the other Mets fans that I was kind of putting it on them, you know, but I saw the Timmy Trumpet video right before I came on, and, you know, you couldn't see me here before I signed on, but I was dancing, and I was getting ready to bring it back. You know, we're going to bring it all back for the Mets. They're not going to do Mets things. I think they're going to win two of three this weekend. I think they're going to be fine unless they do the Mets things, Joe. I mean, like, this is a layup. It looks like a layup, Joe. Supposed to go in there and take tonight, win tomorrow, be good.
You know what they say about layups. Oh, boy. Game time decisions. Come back and join us here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game time decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. Joe and Aaron alongside Dave Sharapan, who at the top of the hour will be taking over with Scotty Wetzel and company, getting you all caught up, a little in-game live here tonight as we've got college football, Major League Baseball, getting ready for week four of the NFL season. And we've got a, boy, things changed in a quick here, Dave, in this University of Miami game. As we watch Miami take the opening kick, ran a couple of plays. Cam Ward, who is now the front runner for the Heisman winner, a quarterback from Miami, fumbled the ball trying to do, it looked like Will Levis. I don't know what he was doing, but he basically tried to throw it, but didn't throw it. He fumbled it as he was getting sacked. They took over, and then three plays later, Virginia Tech touchdown. In-game number now from 18.5 to 8.5, and we still have 12.5 minutes to go. So if you didn't want to lay the number with Miami at 18.5, now's not a bad look here, because if they tie this thing, it's going the other way.
It's so funny because I wouldn't make it below 10.5. If I was doing a game, if we're booking a game, I'd be like, all right, look, you're going to give them a 10-point discount. We're 4 minutes into the game, right? Not even. We're less than 3 minutes into the game. And you got a turnover in your own end and a quick, I mean, he should have been tackled in the backfield, maybe got a field goal attempt. Instead, the quarterback for Virginia Tech avoids the sack, and no one is covering the tight end. So 7-0 and a bargain basement price, 8.5 totals up to 61.5. So the question about the total was going to be, let me see, it closed 55.5, whether Virginia Tech was going to be able to score. So you already got a 7-point head start. So
correct.
You get an inflated number, 6 points higher than the close. If you like the under before, you have to like it now. I think if you like Miami before, laying less than 10 in this game is probably not a bad move. But I don't know, Joe. Like, do you buy the up the letdown factor for a team like Miami? Are they good enough to have a letdown in this spot? Like, they're supposed to just keep winning. They weren't
correct.
Expectations weren't up there, right? Like, it's different for teams that have that emotional game and then they go play somebody. And you're like, okay.
Correct.
I don't know. Yep. I don't see the letdown argument here.
I don't know. There is not going to be a letdown. But every game they don't win is considered a letdown for the U. And I do think at home, and this is not a great start, but this is also maybe the first bit of adversity that we've seen them have. So let's see what they do here. I think the response here, Dave, is going to tell us a lot, but I don't think there's such a thing as a letdown. I mean, every game for the U and that fan base is all about not being let down. So that's the when you play under that kind of expectation each and every year, I don't buy the letdown for the University of Miami because they know they're expected to win every game every year, as unrealistic as that is. That's what the expectation is. So they feel that no matter what. We do have, of course, another line movement in the game coming up at the top of the hour. It looks like that game is on its way to being almost a pick'em, as crazy as that is now. It's down to 1 in many spots. Again, Rutgers was laying 3 to start the week. Now they're only laying 1, and there might even be a pick'em price available before long. Piscataway, New Jersey, that one's coming up top of the hour. Dave Sharapan, Scotty Wetzel and company, they'll take over and get you everything you need to know. In-game live is coming up there. We also have plenty of Major League Baseball games that are going to take center stage here tonight. They'll be covering And the Yankees underway, although the lineup looks like a double-A lineup, given the fact that most everyone seems to be hungover from last night's 10-1 win over the Baltimore Orioles, in which they clinched the American League East. They are at home taking on the Pirates. Give Carlos Rodon credit, by the way. Carlos Rodon, since the All-Star break, hovering around a 2.3, 2.4 ERA, Dave. He's actually pitched pretty well here in the second half. And not that the Pirates are murderers row, but the game here, a Pirates at Yankee Stadium would certainly love to get. No score here, top of the third right now. But that lineup of the Yankees, I mean, look at who they got rolling out there here tonight. Not exactly murderer's row for your Pirates, but maybe a good spot and a good price to get the Yankees as this game moves along.
Fair. I thought you might get called up trying to get you out of any possibilities with the Hurricane.
No.
Try to give you that bat or two in there. Get in there and see if you can get, you know, maybe base hit or something.
Nope.
This is a silly weekend for baseball betting on games with teams that have clinched and games with teams that are out of it and not playing for anything. So I don't know. When you look at the baseball board, I mean, there's a couple games. The game tonight with I just want to make sure, confirm that San Diego and Arizona. That's the game, right? Like that's the game for me. I was looking at it going, all right, how's this thing play out? Because Arizona's ideally got to win 2 of 3. I think they win tonight against Perez, and you get them at not a discounted price, but it's a little bit low. Minus 125, 126, something like that. I like Arizona tonight, Joe. You?
Well, I'm seeing, 135 right now. My question is here, Dave, because I think they hold the key to some of this. What do you think is legit going to be on the line on Monday between the Mets and Braves? Think that it might not mean any? I mean, you know, could it be? Because the Royals aren't going to lay down against Atlanta here. So, really, what could Monday mean if the Mets already clinch and Atlanta's already out of it? What good does it do?
I think, well, if Arizona gets swept or loses, it puts Atlanta right in the mix to get the spot. It won't mean anything for the Mets, but will the Mets want to keep the Braves out? I don't think they're going to start anybody pitching-wise. The whole thing's a mess.
It is, but that gives us an opportunity to put the crystal ball together. We'll do that. Game Time Decisions next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game Time Decisions here as we look to close out this edition on the final Friday of September. Dave Sherapan with us here, getting ready to take over in-game live coming up here in just a few. Dave, you'll keep an eye on all these Major League Baseball games. The University of Miami answers, by the way, they're inside the red zone a couple of plays later inside the 20 of Vaught Tech. It's a touchdown now. So that game is tied, and I certainly hope you were able to get the minus 8.5 while it lasted, because it didn't last very long, Dave. Unbelievable.
Came in like a hurricane. That was just boom, boom. Three plays down the field, touchdown. Here we go. They haven't even put up the adjusted number, but it's going to go back to at least the original number. So don't be surprised to see 17.5, maybe 18.5 totals. I mean, it's already – they're not even 5 minutes in. There's still 10:05 left in the first quarter, and he's got two touchdowns. Yep. So expect a high total in the 60s when it turns back on, probably about 67.5 is my guess.
I agree.
Just doing it in my head. Joe, big games this weekend, but there's the game. It's the biggest game of the weekend, college football-wise. Georgia and Bama. I know I can't wait to watch it. I've been going back and forth all week. I haven't decided yet who I'm going to actually bet on, if I bet it at all. This might be a complete watch and make an in-game play or two. My first thought is Alabama, but I don't think that this will be the only time these two teams play. But I'm leaning Bama. You got a side or total in this thing?
First of all, the game of the weekend here, you could not be further away, is Oklahoma State, Kansas State. That's tomorrow at noon. All right. That's the game of the week. All right. So let's just get our priorities straight here, Sherapan. As far as those other teams, what did you say? Alabama or something like it? Was it Bama, Alabama State?
Alabama, Georgia. Two and a four in the country. Something like that. No.
Never heard of them. Never heard of them. But if I was a betting man, I would take the better team, and I do think that is Georgia. Your Penn State laying 17 and a half is worrisome to me, Dave. Are you taking them?
No, that's a big number, Joe. I've seen this game so many times. I was at this game twice back in the day in the 90s. Like, I see it's Illinois, but all I can see is Bowling Green. Last time when it had a big number, it was a bigger number, and they struggled. I'm in no hurry to lay this. Penn State's got to just inch along here, keep going. The next goal is to win this one, win the next one, get to USC out west, somehow go out there and win that one, and then just get everything in line for the game against Columbus and the Ohio State Buckeyes, who – laying a monster number against Michigan State. Ohio State is going to crush Michigan State. They are going to crush them. Michigan State ramped it up against bad teams. They're going to get run off the field. Last time I looked, what is that, 26? 26? Yeah. Good luck, Michigan State fans. It's going to be a rough day for you guys on Saturday. Not good.
Yes, it is. But nobody, and I mean nobody, is better at covering double-digit favorite spreads like Mr. James Franklin and Penn State. Just going to say that. Listen, he's the one coach that will actually admit he knows what the spread is. And he's got no problem covering it for us when he's this big a favorite. That's all I'm saying there. All right, Dave, get out of here. Scotty Wetzel's already crying, wants to know where you are, doesn't want to have to worry about doing a show alone. So get out of here. Go Oklahoma State Cowboys. Appreciate it, as always, as Dave will. Go Bucks. That ain't happening either. But we've got in-game live coming up. Dave and Scotty Wetzel will get you caught up. Some interesting happenings in Major League Baseball right now in some of these games. So they will take over here in just a minute. Also, the U, Miami, and Vatek 7-7 right now with 9 minutes to go in the first. Getting ready for Washington, kicking off here at Piscataway, New Jersey against Rutgers. The total's starting to creep up a little bit in this one here in some late betting. 45.5, 46 now in the marketplace, down to -1 Rutgers. We like Washington to win this game outright, and that will do it for this edition of Game Time Decisions. We'll be back again tomorrow over the weekend. Until then, enjoy the games here tonight. We'll see you again soon. Good luck. Cash those tickets.